podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Driven by our D&M Leasing Studios, you're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. How about we get some around the bases going and a little conversation about what the Rangers did last night, what we'd like to see them do next. Sports hodgepodge coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Been a very eventful day here with Broadus out at training camp 2026 in Oxnard. Eric and I and Zach will join him there on Sunday, but you get a football Friday tomorrow. And I imagine you'll get Sean and RJ and KNC Masterpiece talking at least a little bit more about Max Crosby, who, if you missed the update from training camp today, it happened in the 3 o'clock hour at the end of practice. Jerry and Steven went and had a private conversation with Dr. Dan Cooper, who was there and was the doctor that did the Max Crosby surgery last year. So the speculation is that maybe they were getting an update on Max Crosby. Certainly you have PJ Locke's hyperextended knee, but that's probably not something you would want the top orthopedic surgeon in sports to be giving you a 5-10 minute update on. Like, that's a road pretty well traveled, and it's in-house. So, you know, there's a lot of other ways you could get that information. You wouldn't have to be talking with Dan Cooper about that. So, but no confirmation that's what they're talking about. It just seems like if you're reading the tea leaves, the Cowboys are at least not giving up on the possibility of trading for Max Crosby. But let's talk some baseball. What'd you guys think of this trade last night? Pretty cool. See why getting the party started.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see that news come down and to see how little they give up in terms of the prospect who is, you know, not even in their top 30 prospects.
Yeah.
And getting a righty reliever that has been really dialed, especially as of late, hasn't allowed an earned run in his last 7 starts. And you have him under control for a while. So that's, especially with the Junis news, with him going down, yeah. Like you need, and they already needed help from a righty reliever. So that was big. And then the catcher as well, a guy who has, you know, some upside and hasn't really met expectations over the last couple of years, but you need some catchers, and they immediately send him to AAA Round Rock, get yourself right. But a few years ago, back in 2023, he was the number one prospect for the Angels. So you give up really nothing, and you get an immediate impact reliever, and hopefully you get a guy who down the line can help you from a catcher perspective.
That would be amazing. I do wonder if the Rangers have more resources they're willing to give up to sort of supercharge this. Is this the beginning of a very exciting trade deadline, and we're going to see this play out over the 3 days, or is this it? You know, and I know for a fact CY doesn't want this to be it, but what we heard, you know, yesterday about Buster Olney's report, hearing from rival GMs that the Rangers don't want to add payroll, it makes me wonder, like, do you need to find more trades like this where you're giving up a prospect that's not in your top 20 or 30 and the money coming back is in the very low millions of dollars? And if it is, that's a hard needle to thread.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. I don't know how many more of those trades you could really be able to imagine yourself pulling off, but I do think that's kind of where we're at here. Unless there's some big surprise and Ray Davis is starting to buy in on this team, and after the last 2 games, I can understand maybe why he wouldn't. But yeah, these are the types of deals, super team friendly deals, small contracts, and you're not giving up much for it. I just can't imagine there's much more of those deals out there to be had.
So Chase Silseth in his last 8 1/3 innings, with the 0 earned runs allowed, as you've mentioned, he comes in there and he stands to be maybe a fairly good setup guy here for the Rangers bullpen, and that's something that they not only have needed before yesterday, but today we got the news that Jacob Junis is going on the IL with a little bit of a groin strain, and maybe you know, you're going to have to do without him for a couple of weeks. So not a moment too soon with this acquisition. The other top story, you know, should the Rangers be entertaining the idea of trading Corey Seager before Monday's deadline? He is expected back tomorrow as they open up this series in Houston. And right now, I don't know how to answer this question. I think it's tough to answer without knowing exactly what they're looking at medically. You know, if it's bad medically for the short term future, the medium future, and you're looking at 5 years left on his contract, then I would be willing to take anything anybody's willing to give me right now, as long as they're taking the entire salary, because 5 years and like $155 million of contract is left. That could be an anchor for your team building. You know, but at the same time, Corey Seager could go out there and put up a couple of months and put this team in the playoffs, and you know he's clutch in the postseason. If you really want to move on from him, is the better idea to see if he can play well over the next couple of months and then get significantly more for him over the winter?
I think that's the better play. Ultimately, you're selling so low on him right now. I'd be surprised if there was a team out there that was willing to take on the entirety of his contract without you eating some of it as well, as it stands right now. So, and you saw some flashes the other night with his rehab start. Hopefully he's at least good enough to get through this season, get back to being himself, and then, like you mentioned, in the offseason, perhaps you can flip him and get a little bit more for him and not have to eat so much of the remaining contract. I just think right now, if there are even any teams willing, I don't know how many teams are interested in picking up the phone right now and acquiring him. And if they are, I guarantee you it's with the caveat of, Rangers, you're going to be eating some of this salary.
I feel like with Ray not being willing to add payroll right now, even though you're $70 million under the luxury tax threshold, he would love it if somebody would take the contractual obligation off of his hands, even for a couple of months. You know, it's a third of $30 million. That would save him like $10 or $12 million somewhere in that ballpark. And I think that's speaking Ray Davis's language right now. So I just have a lot of big picture questions about his strategy and his philosophy and his commitment level right now to try to make a winning team out of these Texas Rangers. And you know, to what extent is he having an eye on the bottom line and thinking, well, this thing has run its course? And if that's his mindset, then I would love to know that. Right now, we're guessing on what he might be thinking based on his actions. And the latest intel is, you know, from Buster Olney that they don't want to add payroll. And if that's the case, then, you know, maybe it's just role player type of acquisitions they could make. Speaking of Seager in the minor leagues, though, did you see last night Sebastian Wolcott steal the show?
Bro,
436-footer.
He's balling right now.
8 games with Frisco so far, 3 home runs, 8 of his 15 hits have been for extra bases. He has 6 multi-hit games, an OPS of 1129. This is, you know, double A. Doing that in Frisco, we're probably living in a world where they are 1 or 2 injuries away from considering letting him come up and give it a shot. Or if you would play yourself out of contention by the time we get to September, let's see what Sebastian Wolcott could do. And that's exciting. I think, you know, especially with the disappointment of Josh Smith at second base, with the future of Jock Peterson and his contract being up, do you want to slide Seager over into DH? You move in Wolcott up to play shortstop. But if you're going to be this hot in double A, you're going to be in triple A very soon. And I think a lot of people are going to be curious about, can he handle the big leagues already?
Yeah, that's what I've been wondering, is like, when are they going to get him to at least the triple A? Get him to Round Rock and let him show off the bat there. You know, coming off the elbow surgery, I think he's just strictly a DH for the remainder of the season. Like, at this point, you're only seeing him hit, which the Rangers could use the bat for sure. They've been, you know, they haven't been very keen on trying to expedite the process of getting him up. So I'm not totally sure, unless he just continues to dominate. Maybe you go to AAA and dominate there, and then it's like, okay, September call up. Let's see what the bat looks like in the big leagues. But he is. I mean, a 446 foot blast. His bat right now. He comes off the injury, and it's the best he's looked.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say if you do find yourself in need of a right-handed bat, at least giving him a shot. You know, sometimes guys are really struggling in the minor leagues and they come up here and the excitement of it carries them for a couple of weeks. But, you know, when you bring him up next year, it's probably going to be with the idea that he's never going back down.
Right.
So a little bit of a taste between now and the end of the year, and then a chance to reflect and learn. He obviously can get better while sitting watching the game, you know, just reflecting on his experience. There's no doubt in my mind that being out for half the summer and just watching stuff and then coming back, apparently he worked on his body, which we've heard about, like the Rangers rehabilitation crew is as good as it gets. And if you have the kind of surgery that requires sort of long time PT, they're going to bring you back as a better, more balanced athlete than you were pre-injury. And I think this is just another example of it. Okay, any other baseball stuff? I got some non-baseball stuff I want to talk about here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hit me with it.
Are you tracking this Stephon Diggs civil case at all?
I mean, I've not in depth. It seems like a weird one, though.
It is.
Oh, my God!
I'm not sure how much truth there is in this, and it is, you know, potentially very embarrassing and I think damaging for Stephon Diggs and his career. And I definitely don't want to put off the impression that I'm assuming what his accuser is saying is true. But a social media influencer, and I think we're about to get answers on it, which is why there's an update. Actually, a male influencer named Christopher Griffith accusing him of sexual assault. I think most people in the sports world have heard or seen that headline by now. He's also accused of having his friends and brother assault him in an attempt to silence him. But the social media influencer is saying Stephon Diggs sexually assaulted him. Mm. Diggs says the guy is making everything up and is suing him for defamation. But the latest is there's a judge is ordering him to turn over all of the DMs that were sent back and forth between he and Diggs around the time that's in question. And I think it's August 15th or something like that is the deadline for him to submit this. So in a couple of weeks, this gentleman, Christopher Griffith, has said these messages will, you know, show everything that needs to be shown. I don't know why you would have to have a judge demand that you show these messages, but he has now, and rubber's going to hit the road here. Steal phrase from Broadus.
Yeah, steal phrase.
Couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is. I mean, it could get bad here. I'm with you. I don't know why, if you're the guy who's accusing him, why would you not have already turned these over to
Sounds like maybe the judge is calling BS on him here a little bit. Like, okay, let's see these messages then, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if I had them and this was going to make it a slam dunk case, I think that's my opening statement.
Exactly.
So I think one way or another, Stephon Diggs is either going to be mercilessly embarrassed or vindicated here next couple of weeks.
If you're a friend, are you helping your friend? Like, you're going to jump his gay boyfriend to keep him quiet?
No. Absolutely not.
I mean, you got to really convince me. Like, hey, man, help me beat up this gay dude because he's going to tell everybody I'm gay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what?
What's going on,
yeah,
bro?
He's making some stuff up about me.
Yeah, we just pay him off, man.
Yeah. We got to go kick his ass. I don't know. I don't know the nature of the relationship between Stephon Diggs and his friends. I think it's a brother not named Trevon. I forget his name.
Yeah, it's not Trevon. Yeah, it's another brother.
So we're not going to hear about that. That would be the ultimate wrinkle in this story. But, I mean, nothing surprises me, you know, when it comes to a league of nearly 2,000 people and all the different things that can play out. But I think most of the media has kind of been hands off with it because it does seem to be operating on that very gray area of what's believable. How about the Santa Cruz lifeguard Ryder Williams getting his, I think this is 3 days of fame now. He's doing interviews today.
Yeah.
The boy's dad did an interview and said the kid blacked out. He was sure he was going to die. To me, the craziest thing about this video is just how calm the lifeguard is. Like, oh, yeah, this is what you do. You just got to stand here and get your ass kicked by these waves until you get the opportunity to make a
massive
break for it.
Mm-hmm. Those were massive waves.
And it's just constant. Boom.
Yeah, so I think what I learned is if you find yourself in that situation, you just kind of get up and kind of relax and go with what the waves are doing until you get a window to make a run for it.
Yeah.
But if you like panic and use all of your energy trying to swim out of that or escape before the ocean is ready to let you escape, then when it hits you, you're going to be too exhausted to endure it because you're going under for 10, 15, 20 seconds. Like my very limited experience bodyboarding, I know how horrifying that was. Now, in that situation, of course, I had an inflatable bodyboard tied to my wrist So I knew eventually I was going to get some sort of relief. But he's given all the credit to these lifeguards, saying apparently this happens quite often in that part of California.
Does it? Yeah. I mean, that was crazy watching the video here. And yeah, like you said, the waves come crashing in, and he just kind of leans into them.
Yeah.
And then when you get a few seconds of a respite, then you're trying to, like, walk this kid back. And then it's like, okay, here's another wave. Let's kind of put a shoulder into it, eat it, and keep going. And then you had a group of, I guess, just randos that were on the beach coming out there to help as well. But, yeah, what a legend, dude. And this is his rookie summer as a lifeguard.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was like 5 or 6 years old, I nearly drowned at the beach. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was an undercurrent and everything. So from that point on, I was always like sizing up the violence of the coastline that day. And once waves are higher than about 3 or 4 feet, I just couldn't imagine going in thinking this is going to be fine and fun. It's not a wave pool at Hurricane Harbor. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It can definitely do damage. But I think people that maybe did not grow up around the ocean, they're on vacation, they're like, oh, it's water, you know?
100%. And the kid was from Dallas.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, a shout out to his friends and family. I can't imagine what that must have been like, having to watch that from the side. And then when the 16-year-old lifeguard emerges with your son who's passed out but is about to wake up, that must have been an incredible moment.
He's about to receive a high civilian honor for his actions at the White House. Like, I mean, they're doing it big for this kid.
All right, we got to run. It's time for a sports hodgepodge. Chief, where are you taking us?
Yeah, my favorite updates from around the NFL training camps next.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back, Nation. Segment here, the Sports Hodgepodge, brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Chief with that hodgepodge.
Hope you boys like football. Let's do it.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it
to
is
guys?
The home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly. Yes, no one's thousands. Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, do you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, you rude motherfucker.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or something stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Little shock jock stuff.
Old Vita Vea doesn't like his contract. He's demanding trades, and now he's pulling a Micah Parsons, doing the old "I tweaked something, can't practice." We'll see if he's going to lay out on a training table at any point, you know, as we get closer and closer to the season. If he doesn't get what he wants, perhaps he will do that. But I'm glad to know that the Cowboys are not going through that any longer. But it is the Buccaneers who have a frustrated Baker Mayfield. They have a tweak something, get me out of here, Vita Vea. And, I mean, Mike Evans is not there. It feels like they're in shambles a little bit. But maybe chip on his shoulder, Baker Mayfield has something in store for the football world. You also have...
I just wish there was a way. Sorry to cut you off.
No,
there,
you're
Chief,
good.
That we could get to a place where... It was totally reasonable to insist that everybody just satisfies the terms of the contract they signed. You know, I don't like this. I don't think it makes the players look good. It's frustrating for fans. And it's just weird that I would agree contractually, because you're paying me now and I'm getting guarantees for my future. And in 3 or 4 years, if that contract is no longer that great of an idea to me, then I need to take care of that right now when we're negotiating. But your payoff as the team is if you wait through this 3 years where all this guarantee is, then you get basically a couple option years on the back end of that. You know, I just don't think players should be holding the team's feet to the fire after the team made a risk in giving you the initial contract.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but if you didn't If you didn't perform up to that contract, they would have just let you go.
Right, but that is negotiated into their deal. You know, they have
the guarantees were the guarantees. Yeah,
the guarantees were the guarantees. I gave you 2.5 years worth at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We had game one of about 40 games that we're guaranteeing right now. You could step off the golf cart and tear your Achilles tomorrow trying to jog to practice like Dre Greenlaw on the sideline.
And we'd have to honor what we guaranteed
you. Yeah, we'd have to honor what we guaranteed.
No, I hear you. You do have Malik Nabers with the Giants, who the Cowboys face off with in week one. He's running around out there looking good. So I know we were thinking
ready
maybe,
to play, huh?
Yeah, he looks like a guy who's ready to play. So I know all throughout the offseason, I think there's been pessimism about whether or not he was going to be able to start the season. But he's out there running around, catching balls, running routes, stopping and cutting and jumping and doing his thing. So Malik Nabers is looking right. Have you heard the Broadus, have you heard out there the GOTI offense here, the greatest offense there is?
They talked about that. Matter of fact, they brought it up to Dak today.
Is that the Goaty or the Gotti?
The Gotti is what they're calling it. The Gotti, yeah. The Gotti.
The Gotti offense.
Yeah.
The greatest offense there is. I like that, man. Dak's seriously coming in here with some confidence. He's wearing the Super Bowl t-shirt.
Yeah. He's trying. 11 years. You got to do something different. Jeez.
Change something up a little bit.
Change something up a little bit, yeah. You got an owner that's trying to help him a little bit, go get guys and stuff like that, so.
Broadus, if I told you the number one guy I'm most excited to see with pads on, now that we're 2 days into camp with no pads.
Malik Hooker.
You're going Malik Hooker?
No. I was saying you.
No. How about
Jonathan Mingo?
I'm going Jayshon Barham, dude. Like, get some pads on this guy.
He did a really nice job today, like I say, in the run. I was in a little bit better position. I was up in the stands yesterday, and then I was in the VIP suite stands on the other field. And they were coming at me with the offense was moving towards me. So I was able to see it. But Barham did a pretty nice job of standing up Tyler Smith and kind of squeezing the edge there.
Okay.
And the ball went inside of him. But if you're in pads, he wrecks Tyler Smith and makes the tackle. I think he was just doing Tyler Smith a favor. You're pulling. I'm going to give you a shoulder. And I'm not going to fight you to get to the ball and have a big collision here. So I think he did a smart thing. But I would say in full pads, he's probably going to stop Tyler Smith, and then he's probably going to make the tackle. But I mentioned that yesterday. And Coach talked about him, guy running around and all that. There was a play yesterday where he didn't look like he read it pretty quick. He looked very rookie-like. And today, I want to say this also, too. Our guy Downs had his welcome to the NFL moment.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. He had a welcome to the NFL moment. CeeDee Lamb wore his ass out one play in the out of the slot. I'm sure if you want to, I did a bunch of videos and stuff. I might have it on my videos that I was taking during practice. But Lamb was in the slot to the left, and he just shook Downs right at the line and came all the way across, and Dak hit him. And it was kind of one of those moments where you're like going, oh, okay, I see what's going on. I'm surprised somebody else didn't have it on Twitter. Might want to look up Downs or something like that. But it was that moment where, you kind of saw a big-time slot player. And it's not easy playing slot in the league. We all know that. But this was Downs' moment that he kind of because the next play you could tell he was kind of just kind of hanging his head a little bit, and he had to go cover a tight end, and it kind of affected him for a couple of plays that guy just shook him the way he did. But it was a really, really a nice route by Lamb.
Yeah, I mean, iron sharpens iron here. That's really good for Caleb Downs to have to see that.
Four times today from Dak, the old iron sharpens iron thing today.
Oh, is that right? He hit us
four times today. I think he used it four times today.
Mike Tomlin's the standard is the standard as well. I think he belched out at one point. But so they're putting Caleb Downs like they're like man coverage style. Go cover CeeDee Lamb. I like that they're doing that in training camp.
That's what everybody wants him to do, right? That's what we drafted the guy, right?
No, we did not draft him to play man coverage versus CeeDee Lamb type slot receivers. Is that what we did?
That's what we did. We drafted him to play in the slot, and I think a lot of us were like, well, let's tap the brakes, let's see how this goes, and he's a hell of a player. He's worth. And I'm sure people are driving around right now going, well, damn, Brody, all you do is pump the guy up. The guy's a hell of a football player, but he is going to get worked in the slot every once in a while. He got worked today. He is a good football player. He can do anything. I saw him back there catching punts today. I mean, this guy can play a lot of spots. He's tough. He's going to make plays. But he had a welcome to the NFL moment today, having to try and carry CeeDee Lamb on an inside route.
Yeah, that's not going to be something that's very easy for you for sure.
No.
I don't know. I don't imagine that Christian Parker is going to win the season when you're in actual games is going to be trying to man him up versus CeeDee Lamb caliber slot receivers. But in training camp, I'm cool with it. Like,
sure,
just let's see what you do have. And yeah. And I'm
surprised somebody didn't have it on Twitter. I mean, I have to look for it on my stuff. But yeah, it was. I'm surprised somebody didn't post that yet. But
it's posted. It's just from a weird angle.
Yeah,
you don't actually get to see all of the route.
I think I got it from a good angle. I'm gonna have to do it. But yeah, that was hey, welcome to the NFL. When you carry slots and you carry guys that can release the way that CeeDee Lamb does, that's going to happen to you every once in a while.
I mean, you got to imagine if you're an offense and you're looking across the field at these nickels who are these hybrid type of guys, you want to try to get your best wide receiver on them.
I would think that would be the first thing I would try to do.
Yeah.
If I saw Nick Amanawori, I'd say, okay, well, let's see how well he could really cover for a big guy, that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, and I just don't imagine that you're Mike McDonald or Christian Parker in that situation. You're like, yeah, let's man him up.
You don't, you want to know what his
zone coverage.
You want to know what his limitations are, right? You want to see how good is it? Is this if we get this kind of look, are we totally bleeped? Do we need to be ready to audible out
of this?
That's
what I'm saying. If teams are going to play 11 personnel and he's the slot, he's going to play against these guys like that. You can't hide him that way. That's what I'm saying. The way you would hide him is that you would put him at safety and put another corner in the game. That's how you would do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not totally, but the impression that everybody has is this guy was going to just be a slot defender and just cover everybody. And I never ever believe that, but I saw it today where I was like, okay, probably don't, CeeDee Lamb is a rare player playing in the slot. Not everybody plays like this, but
more and more teams are getting players like that.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you're right. If you got these hybrid players that all of a sudden are playing slots that are a little bit bigger, linebacker kind of guys, well, then you might want to, try and match them up on guys like that, in coverage.
Yeah, I mean, in training camp, I totally get it. Like you said, I want to see the limitations. But once you get into some games, I would hope they're not going to be putting downs on guys like CeeDee Lamb and make him cover him out of the
slot. Just remember this conversation we had.
Yeah.
Just remember this, because today was that day that, Lamb, rare. Playing out of the slot, rare. It's going to be tough. Anybody covering him out of the slot, going to be tough. But that, yeah, there's some things. I think that there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve of him having to play, him having to carry, Schoonmaker, Span Ford, or one of those guys. That's not an issue, Maybe covering the guy who's the fourth receiver in the slot, maybe not an issue. But you put a top flight slot in there. I'm not saying he can't do it, but just know that the possibility is that that there might be some separation there.
Day number two of my question, did you see George Pickens moving around?
No.
Playing in the slot?
No.
None of that? Okay.
No, they had a trips formation to the defense's left, offense's right. It was Flannoy tight right. It was Lamb next to him, and then Pickens on the outside of him is what it was. So,
okay.
No, he's playing left and right is what he's doing.
Yeah, we are hopeful that we're going to see him start to move around a little bit, play out of the slot, do some things like that. Looks like Puka Nacua has been the superstar of Rams training camp so far, moving a little bit different, which is very, very scary. That, according to the Athletic, Rams beat writer Nate Atkins. So maybe Nacua spent this offseason being like, okay, let me let me level up even more, which I didn't know was actually possible because he's been so freaking amazing from day one. But already in training camp, he's lighting it up, doing his thing.
Stands to reason maybe your nutrition and sleep's a little bit better if you're not binge drinking to the point that you got to go to stay away rehab.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If he's been party animal guy this whole time and being that dominant, and now he's actually going to focus in for the first time.
He's going to be hydrated. He's going to have his sleep.
Let him have a bad game or two, and everybody's going to want him to be a drunk again.
Bite somebody, dude.
It's important part of the process.
Hey, what happened to Nacua? Oh, he got sober. Ah, damn. Get back to being a drunkard. You play better when you can't walk.
Well, so far in camp, he's rocking and rolling right now. And finally, David Bailey, Texas Tech edge rusher with the New York Jets. He's tearing it up out there as well. He's just getting sacks all over the place and having himself a dominant start.
Worried about that Jets offensive tackle group then. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, apparently he ran through the chest of Membu at one point.
Membu!
And got him a nice little sack there. So David Bailey's getting after it.
Thank you, Chief.
Good for him.
Brought us live on the tennis courts. We'll come back and cross with the Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking here for you on a Thursday night. And we're back with more on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Back at it tomorrow for a Football Friday course. Brought us on the tennis courts. We'll have Rangers Astros at 6:30 with the pregame. Eric Nadel joining us at 4:40. What you drinking? What you thinking? It'll be amazing. And hopefully we're inching closer to a Max Crosby reality as the Fan After Dark jumps in here now with Fred and Blake. How you doing, man?
You just got a little taste of, next 4 hours.
Yeah. Sounds like Blake has a very exciting Greek vacation coming up.
He does. And, just
vacation Blake.
Trying to get a cut sheet.
So how are you guys feeling about Max Crosby? You think this is realistic? Are you allowing yourself to believe the Cowboys might trade for Max at some point in the near future?
I guess I'm just flabbergasted at we went from we don't buy anything that Jerry says to suddenly he says something at a press conference. I mean, don't we know part of Jerry's deal is bluster?
Yes.
So why all of a sudden that when he says something yesterday, which is par for the course, which is peak Jerry Jones, and suddenly we're scrambling that, oh my God, something's on the verge of happening.
I think trading Max Crosby signaled there's a change. Going out and getting Quinnen Williams, there was a change. What he said last year at the Netflix, the red carpet, whole deal, and then today for him to be meeting with Dr. Cooper after practice in a clandestine and very private discussion with Ian Steve.
I mean, I think do we need to go back and look if there's ever been other times in training camp where Jerry has sat and talked to the doctor, especially a day after an injury to a guy that you just signed that you expect to be a starter?
Yeah. I mean, that's a legitimate possibility.
But,
why do you need to meet with Dr. Cooper privately about a hyperextended knee? You don't get off to the side and have in whispered tones conversations about a guy who's going to be fine in 10 days.
Why wouldn't you talk to Jerry? Why wouldn't Jerry, who can pretty much talk to Dr. Cooper anytime he wants, decide to talk to him during practice?
Because that's how rich, powerful people
which,
do it.
Which I'm not, and look, I'm not, and I'm playing, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I
appreciate it, yeah.
You know, and look, here's the, and I was joking with Lucius, like, we're a day into training camp.
Yeah.
We're a day into training camp, and we're already chasing, tea leaves about, oh my God. I'll believe it when I see it, right? I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, you've got Jaden Blue looks like he might be legit finally. The offense looks like it suddenly might be decent again. And that, what I heard somebody talking today, don't give me a lie, I can't decent remember who it was. Good again, but the fact that, they're already ahead of schedule as far as things that would have taken usually a week or two to them to finally do, they're doing like on the first day of camp, which for us shouldn't be, I don't think anybody here is surprised by that considering you returned your entire staff. So, offensively. So I'm less focused on, if the front office is going to go out and get a Max Crosby, let's see it. I'll believe it when I see it. In the meantime, I'm focused on Christian Parker, this defense, and how good do they look, and just how far along or what's this progression?
So regular football development training camp is more interesting to you than trading for an all-pro?
Well, I mean, what?
At a massive position of need.
If it happens, when it happens, then I can get excited about it.
Can I ask a question? I haven't been with you guys in a while. Luke Schoonmaker, Joe Milton, and Jonathan Mingo. Do any of those three guys make the team? And in what variation, if you will?
Did you say Spanford?
Spanford I have making being tied into. Yeah, so yeah. Schoonmaker, Joe Milton, and Mingo. Jonathan Mingo. Do they make the team? Do they not? Do one of those guys make it? Yada, yada.
I don't know. Bottom of the roster.
Right.
Okay. Chief?
I mean, Mingo's at that fifth or sixth spot, right?
Like, where's your confidence level in those three guys making the roster?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Broadus probably has a better idea. I think they all make the roster.
Okay.
Mingo had a good day yesterday. Mingo had a good day today. So at least he's off on the right start. But we've seen guys kind of fall apart that way, too. Yeah.
Because he needs this camp, doesn't he? I mean, of the three guys he mentioned, he needs it.
They're trying to figure out, you know, potentially who that fourth receiver is. So, yeah, I mean, at least the last couple of days, he has shown up far more than any other time that we've seen him do stuff.
Who's the other receivers, Brian, outside of the top three that we would, like, you know, those bottom of the rosters, the Anthony Smiths, the Jordan Hudsons, the MVS, like, who's I know we're only 2 days in, but I'm just saying who's impressing early.
Smith caught a ball today. Mingo's been the one holding.
Oh, yeah, holding.
You know, yeah, I'm just trying to, like, Camden Brown, they've tried to throw the ball to him, and he made a catch, made a drop. Valdez Scantling, he made a play today.
Is he just a camp body? I mean, nobody thinks he's making this roster, do we?
I got him making it.
I don't know. I mean,
there's a reason he was on four teams last year, right? I mean, MVS is what he is.
Yeah, I would love to see Holden or Anthony Smith or one of those guys. I mean, this Denzel Mims, they keep talking about him. He hasn't done anything.
I was going to say, he's on his third or fourth team, too, isn't he? Isn't he the former Jet?
Yeah.
These are the conversations that get you going, huh?
I'll pass on Max Crosby for an MVS Anthony Smith.
What do we say? We're speculating on, hey, if he shows up.
Unbelievable.
But, I mean, we're okay, so what happens if he doesn't show up?
Who's the sixth corner? When's that segment?
I love these talks, Brian. You know, I love nerding out over this.
So we're going to get excited about a trade that may happen?
Yes. Yes, it is the single most powerful content in sports radio. Potential trades. Fred,
it is the most exciting thing to talk about.
Right. And we did it. And then today happened, giving you another opportunity to talk about it.
Look, I'm just not moved.
He's
about
not a
what
Max
might,
guy,
I'm not moved at what might happen. Like, didn't we already just go down this road 3 months ago?
Yeah, and they got real close to doing it.
And it didn't happen.
Right now.
And so, okay,
right now, no chance to win the Super Bowl.
I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree.
You get Max Crosby, and you have a significantly better chance, even if you think they have a chance now.
If it happens.
Lucius has already got home. Okay, is that a sign? I got to go. Okay, thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 at 635. Just went 4+ flawless. Thanks to Brian Broadus out there in the tennis courts in Oxnard and Eric Chiafalo. Here comes the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake. Till then, you're going on with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.